For the Rural Radio Network, I'm Chabela Guzman. The yearly count of the eastern monarch butterfly population that overwinters in Mexico was released on January 30th, showing an increase of 144% over last year's count, the highest count since 2006. In stark comparison, the western monarch butterfly population that overwinters along the California coast declined 86% in 2018 compared to the previous year, with a final count of approximately 30,000 butterflies, which is just enough to avoid a complete collapse. Eric Holst, Associate Vice President of Working Lands, gives us more insight into what's going on with the butterfly.
It's important to keep an eye on the long-term trend line from over the last 20, 25 years, which is also a fairly steep decline. Population size 25 years ago, that was probably over a billion individuals. We're talking about, probably a 90 to 95% decline over that period of time. But great news over this last year, which indicated that, hopefully some of the habitat enhancement activities that have been going on the ground are paying dividends. And I think there was also a fairly favorable weather year for Monarch, which is fairly sensitive to changes in weather. So that's sort of the lay of the land as we stand today.
One of the factors Holst says for the decline in the western monarch population is the decline of breeding and feeding habitat, but he says there are probably other factors involved.
There's some habitat, in the Central Valley in California that's not being used by monarch, wasn't used last year. So habitat's an important factor, but it may not be the only factor. And unfortunately, we just don't really understand what those other drivers. It may be changes in climate, changes in weather patterns. Some have suggested that the fires that we had in the fall of last year might have interrupted the monarch migration. Anytime you have a population that kind of gets into this bottleneck situation, any sort of little disturbance in the system can cause a collapse, and it makes it much more vulnerable. So, Environmental Defense Fund and our partners, the Xerces Society, academic researchers, state wildlife officials, federal wildlife officials, we're getting together later this month at UC Davis to, just roll up our sleeves and see if we can identify, some of the other causes, and we ramp up conservation activities to make sure that we get out of this bottleneck situation.
A great deal of effort is already being done to save the monarch. In fact, the monarch butterfly has been petitioned to be added to the endangered species list. The decision to list it will be up to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Holst says the Working Lands and other organizations are responding to the monarch butterfly to be listed as an endangered species, and they are ramping up conservation efforts.
The best way to avoid a listing is to grow populations and to show that there's conservation action that can be taken and is being taken to try to recover the populations. So one of the most important opportunities is on farmland. Particularly up through Texas, up through Minnesota, that corridor is a very important, probably the most important breeding ground for monarch. Monarch occur in all 48 lower states, but the center of the country is probably the most important region. It's where they're most numerous and where, there's frankly a lot of available land. There's a lot of land dedicated to agriculture, but we spent a lot of time working with farmers, ranchers, crop associations, government agencies and whatnot to identify pockets of habitat that could be enhanced.
Holst says enhancing the monarch breeding and feeding habitat is one of the most important steps to assist the butterfly.
Monarch move around a lot, and there's several generations of monarch every season. And so what they require is basically kind of a form of prairie habitat or grassland habitat that formerly was much more extensive and now is isolated in pockets. And the essential ingredient of that habitat are wildflowers. The monarch move around by sipping on nectar from various wildflowers, and milkweed. Milkweed is a very unique plant species that monarch lay their eggs on exclusively. There's various species of milkweed. There's been a great decline in milkweed in the landscape over the last 25 years, so it's really important to get that back.
Holst explains the timeline for the monarch to be listed as an endangered species.
The decision to list or not list will be made by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they have a deadline in June of this year to make that decision. And then if they make some sort of a listing determination, the final date for the go-live with that listing would be a year from this June, so June 2020. So we'll get an indicator in June 2019 of where they're headed, and June 2020 would be the final.
Holz says there are many organizations out there with information on saving monarchs, including wildlife organizations.
A lot of other organizations in the nonprofit sector that are providing technical assistance to farmers and ranchers to enhance those habitats. So, for example, Pheasants Forever is an organization and are, you know, helping folks to enhance this habitat because, you know, it turns out what's good for a monarch is good for a lot of other insects. And, you know, when you have a lot of insects, you have a lot of birds. And so, you know, we think that the monarch can actually be, you know, kind of a catalyst for recovery of a lot of other wildlife.
Working Lands says the good news is this year's eastern population numbers indicate that conservation efforts plus favorable weather make a winning combination. While there's not much we can do about the weather, there's a great deal we can do to conserve the and restore monarch habitat. But we have to act fast before it's too late. With the Rural Radio Network, I'm Chabela Guzman.